Amen. Thank you, Ms. Joyce. I appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 34, if you will. Genesis chapter 34. We started out long time ago with Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise. Anybody need a worksheet, by the way? Just slip your hand up. Hold your hand up. Do you miss getting a worksheet? Hold it up till they come around. And we saw how God gave Abraham a promise, and that promise was passed on to Isaac. And that promise, and by the way, it was meant to be passed on, because it was going to make him a great nation. We can't do it all by himself. It's going to be all his posterity, if you will, his progeny, his ancestors, his descendants. And so it goes to Isaac, then it went to Jacob. It's going to go on to Joseph. You need a paper? Oh, one more down front here. Oh, no? Okay, all right. I thought maybe you had your hand up for paper. All righty. We're good. All righty. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 34. I'm going to read this story. This is kind of an unusual story stuck in the middle of all this, but it's all part, again, of living by faith. It's all part of living by faith. Sometimes God tells us what to do, and sometimes tells us what not to do. Sometimes we do things by faith. Sometimes we don't do some things by faith, leaving things in the hands of the Lord. And so we're going to see some things here this evening. And let's begin chapter 34 and verse number 1. It says, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out," watch this, "to see the daughters of the land." Now, you've got this one daughter here. Now, there were others, but Leah was the one who gave birth to Dinah. Of course, we're going to have the 12 sons of Jacob and so forth. But we have Dinah here. And, of course, you got all these guys, and they're all going to look out for the little sister. That's just the way it is. You know how it is. You get a bunch of guys, they're going to look out for her. Now, they might pick on her till death, you know, but don't let anybody else mess with her. You know what I'm talking about? And but she went out, it says in verse 1, to see the daughters of the land. That's what she went out to do, verse 2. "And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite," he's from the Canaanite area there, "a Hivite, prince of the country," so he was kind of his daddy was kind of the head honcho in the area there, in that Hivite area there. And he saw her. He took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this damsel to wife." And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. I have to talk to her, to the girl's daddy, you know. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to commune with him, and the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. They did what? To who? This is our little sister. No one messes with our little sister. So the sons of Jacob, verse 7, came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel, in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them. He tried to have a little schmooze, some things. He said, "Listen," he says, "the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife. And while we're at it, make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you." So he says, "All right, why don't we just make a deal here, and you know, we'll be some families together, and you got your country there, you got your country, but the fact is, there's only so many people around, and in fact, if you can take our daughters, and they've had some other choices for young men, and your young men can choose our daughters, and we'll just be friendly here. Everything's fine and dandy. Verse 10, and ye shall dwell with us in the land which the land shall be with before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein. So just go ahead and move in town and set up shop and stick around, and we'll be one big happy family. Well, it sounds good. Verse 11, and Shechem said unto her father, so Shechem is talking to Jacob, and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. He says, listen, I'll do anything you need me to do. You need a great big dowry? We'll pay what we need to pay. Money's no object. We'll take care of it. Whatever you tell us to do, that's what we'll do. I just really want her to be my wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that they were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you. If ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, we talked about all that some months back, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Now they're saying that, but like I just said, they answered deceitfully. They never intended. They just figured, well, we'll just make the stake. He says, do whatever you need to do. Well, okay. All right, everybody's got to get circumcised. Well, that ought to be a deal breaker, and we'll be done. Verse 17, and but if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter and we'll be gone. We'll just take her, we're gone. Do it our way, and I think they really thought they would say, well, forget this. Verse 18, and their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. So he deferred not. He said he didn't stop. He said, okay, all right, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. Verse 20, and Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and had a little powwow with them, communed with them, with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein, for the land, behold, is large enough for them. Let us take our daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent, though, unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. They really didn't say to him, but here's the selling point. Verse 23, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. Listen, we're going to make money out of this deal. You're going to marry their daughters, and then, of course, you're going to get the dowries and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, we'll have everything they have. God's blessing these people. I mean, they're doing well. And so the fact is, if we can go ahead and get and deal with them, we're going to make out okay. Now, I know it's not really a good, you know, it doesn't sound like a great idea, but I think it's well worth the sacrifice if we will just go ahead and do this, because I think we're going to make out all right. Verse 24. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out to the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, you can only imagine, the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, in other words, their mama was Leah, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. Now, the fact is, I mean, we don't want to be indiscreet or, you know, improper, but the fact is they have just been circumcised. They're not moving around a whole lot. They're certainly not ready to go out to battle. And so while they're hurting and can't do a whole lot, they go in there and kill them. Now, again, these cities weren't thousands and thousands of people. The cities may have been, you know, like around here, well, when I grew up, we had a place called Snydersburg. And the Snyders lived there. Now, some other people moved in later, but it was Snydersburg. We had a place called Hale Town. That's where all the Hales lived. We have lots of these little towns, and some of them were just little towns, and that's all that were there. And we have that kind of thing going around here. And so it wasn't a huge bunch necessarily, but it was a clan, it was a city that they had. And so they went in, these two guys went in and killed all the men. Verse 26, and they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. Look where she was. Now, there wasn't any deal. She should be home in daddy's house, to be honest with you. But there she was. She was in Shechem's house. Verse 27, and the sons of Jacob came upon and slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep. I'm not saying this is good, but this is what happened. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. And I shall be destroyed, I and my house. So Jacob should know better than that. God can't, he can't, you know, they're not all born yet. We got Benjamin yet to come. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? So we can't let this go on. And Jacob said, man, no one's going to want to be friends with us if you guys did such a thing. I got a few points I want us to see tonight, and we're going to talk about the love of the world. The love of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Again, Lord, some principles here I want us to see. It's not probably everything that's in this passage, but there's some things we need to see. So, Lord, give us your wisdom. May I ask for your Holy Spirit and give each one exactly what we need. Maybe a little encouragement, maybe a little rebuke. I don't know what it may be, but you know, Lord. So, Lord, work in our hearts, and we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. But we're in love. Famous last words. But we're in love. We've been talking about living a life of faith. There are some things we need to do because we're told to do them by the Lord, even though it appears that doing them is going to be bad and make life more difficult for us. But by faith, we do them anyway. By faith, there are some things that we do not do. Because God so said, even though we see no immediate problem stemming from it, it appears to be advantageous to us. But God has told us to stay away from it for some, and we think some unreasonable reason. You think God is being overly critical, overly cautious, and frankly, as we say, cramping my style. When God is cramping your style, it's because you got your style from the wrong place. Let me say that again. If God is cramping your style, you got your style from the wrong place, most likely from the world. If God is cramping your style, then your style must likely be sin against God. And you can be sure your sin shall find you out. Well, I'm not going to go real far this way. I'm just looking. I'm just curious as to how the other side lives. Remember that they are called the other side for a reason. Most people do not start out to sin. There has been something building up for a long time, and eventually they take a little look-see and step into quicksand. And then most times at that point it's too late. I want you to see some principles in this passage. This is probably not all this here, but I want you to see some things through this. Number one, Dinah was curious about the world around her. Dinah was curious about the world around. It says in verse 1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. That word see there has a whole meaning behind it. It basically means to observe in order to advise oneself. To observe in order to advise oneself. In other words, it's kind of like looking through Vogue magazine or Cosmopolitan or some of these other magazines to see what the world's doing, to see what maybe I might like to participate in. Looking into what's out there just in case I would like, you know, there's something good there. Kind of like men who say, I read Playboy for the articles. Not planning on doing anything, just curious. Dinah went to town to check things out. She probably felt like she lived an isolated life. And she wanted to see what all the girls do downtown. I mean, we live around Jacob, you know, and, you know, there's certain things we do and certain things we don't do and all this stuff. And, you know, we've got God over our shoulder all the time. And, you know, the world out there, they seem to be having fun. Maybe I'll just go down there and check out and see what things are going on. How do they do there? How do they wear their hair? Why do they wear their hair the way they wear their hair? How do they do their makeup? How do they dress? You know, if they want to wear a pair of tight jeans in public to show how they have developed into a woman, well, they can. Besides, the boys seem much more attentive when I dress like that. I mean, you want me to get married, don't you? You know, if we want to have a little wine or a little beer here, we can, or even, you know, some recreational drugs, or, you know, I mean, we can, and, you know, no one's condemning them. They're happy. We go out into the world just to see. And we kind of appease ourselves and say, well, yeah, but I mean, I'm really not going to get into all that. It just, you know, and I mean, besides, what's a little bit going to do? What's, number two there, what's wrong with being curious? Well, there's nothing wrong with being curious in general. But you know what's wrong with being curious about the world? It's the world. That's what's wrong with being curious about the world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. The world is all that man says is right and what man says is wrong. By the way, what we're doing tonight to the world, is, you know, some of them might not see it, but basically it's wrong. You're wasting your life. Evil is good and good is evil. Now, I understand we live in the world, but we don't necessarily have to be of the world. You see, when she went out to observe what the girls are doing, she wasn't out there to learn a lesson what not to do. She went out to see, which means to observe, to advise oneself, to kind of see how I can maybe put a little bit of this in there, a little bit of that. I told you about this girl years ago that I used to sing in a Christian group with, and I remember one time, and I've told you this part. We were having rehearsal, and we got done rehearsal, and my mom always had all kinds of goodies for the kids to eat when we were done rehearsing, and we were high school and early college and so forth, and so they headed out to all the goodies. Mom always had some kind of bar cookies and, you know, all kind of gooey stuff with chocolate chips and nuts and all kinds of stuff. So they all went out, and I was cleaning up the microphones and stuff like that, and she kind of held behind and she said, do you really believe all this? You know, salvation by grace and faith and all this stuff. I said, yeah. Well, I do too, just in case. Then you don't really believe it, if it's just in case. But I was thinking about this today. There was another time. And again, I'm not trying to be improper here. But she hung out and she was dating a fellow. She was very intelligent, very pretty. She sang like an angel. But I think most guys were scared of her. She was almost too good. You know what I mean? And she was, very high up in the class and in her grades and so forth. And she always looked like she had everything together, but she was kind of insecure. But she started dating a guy, and after the rehearsal, she kind of hung around. I'm cleaning up the microphones, and she said, "How far can you go with a guy before it's sin?" Now, I know you can't, but there's a lot of other things you can do before you. That is where a lot of us live. How far can I go without crossing the line? Where's the line? Well, the Bible says if you can't do it of faith, it's sin. If it's questionable, don't do it. That's like that piece of ham that's been in there for 3 months. Well, I don't know. What do you think? A little funny. When in doubt, throw it out. And by the same thing with sin. God's not going to get mad at you because you drew the line too close. I mean, you drew it too far away from the sin. He's not going to get upset with you. Your friends might get upset with you, but let them get upset. I think God's okay with it. Now, chances are most of us in this room have probably gone a little further than we should have over the years. In some place, somewhere along the way. Whether it was the type of sin we're talking about here or something else. And we said so because we're curious. So what's wrong with being curious? The second line there, it's the world. That's the problem. Why do we need to investigate something we know is wrong for us? Because we were told by somebody else it was wrong and we want to find out ourselves. God said, don't eat of the tree that in the midst of the garden. But it doesn't look that bad. It's pleasant to the eyes, it tastes good, and it's good to make one wise. I mean, I love God and everything, but maybe he's just a little tight on this one, and he's making a bigger deal out of this than he should. Curiosity is not bad unless it is curiosity in something that the Lord has already told us to stay away from. He that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Letter B, you know what I'm going to say there. Curiosity killed the cat. Curiosity killed the cat, as the old saying goes. He wasn't trying to be bad. He was just looking. You know how cats do. They just kind of creep around and you scare them, go, you know how they do that? And somehow, they can fall off the roof and still land on all 4 feet. I don't know how that, don't do this. But I had a buddy of mine who would take cats and he'd throw them just to see them come down on their feet. And they would! Most of the time. But after a while, if you're not careful, curiosity will kill the cat. Dinah found out how the downtown girls relate to the downtown boys. That's what happened. She went down to see the daughters of the city. That's where she went to. But listen, do you know what the girls are talking about around the lockers? The guys. And you know what the guys are talking about in the lockers, the locker room? The girls. Now, it's not wrong to have a desire for the opposite sex because God designed us that way. But in the inappropriate time and inappropriate way, it becomes sin rather than good. You know, the girls downtown, they're allowed to just run around together without their parents looking over their shoulders. Well, it's kind of fun. Their parents trust them. You know, listen, parents, you know, don't let your kids give you a hard time when they want to do something and you know they're getting themselves in a situation, it's going to be late. By the way, see, why don't you let us stay out any late? Because the later it gets, the more stupid we become. We'll do things at 12 o'clock we wouldn't have done at 9. It's just that we get tired, we start doing something stupid. We let our guard down. But listen, when your kids tell you, you don't trust me, you tell them, no, I don't. Why? Because I know where you came from. Me. That's why I don't trust you. Because I know you got your sin from me. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's nothing new under the sun. Listen, young folks, all of a sudden, they feel like they discover the opposite sex. It's like no one else ever knew this. You know, this is brand new stuff. Wow! This girl that you hated, now all of a sudden it's like the best thing in town. This guy that you thought was icky, all of a sudden he's a hunk. You like it. Now the fact is we've got to make sure we put these things in the right perspective. And listen, she went down there. You've got to make sure that you're hanging around with folks who's going to help encourage you to do it the way God wants you to do it. So that when you get that one that God has planned for you, you're not a used car. You want it to be sweet and perfect with that first one. You want everything to be just the way it was supposed to be, the way God designed it. And that connection and that bond will be tighter than it ever could have been if we were out seeing how the girls downtown do it. Well, they don't have all those stupid rules. They're treated like they have a brain of their own. Their parents respect them. Their parents don't mind if you go over to the boy's house and go up to his room and study. They're allowed to hang out with whomever they want to please. They've got it made. She went downtown because she was curious about what the girls were doing. Number two. If Dinah had never been curious about the world, she would have never gone out to see the world. She went out to see the daughters. I am a firm believer, I mean firm believer, that as soon as they can come to church, you bring them in. You bring them into church. You wait till they're 4 or 5 and try to take them in the nursery, and I don't care. They'll go into preschool and the school, and everything's fine. They come in here, and the devil's going to pinch their little butt to pieces. They're not going to want to stay there. They're going to cry. They're going to fuss. They're going to fume. They're not going to want to stay. I don't know what it is, but it's like I'm not going to do this. It's like you're throwing them to the wolves. But you know what? These ones that come in when they're first born, they don't know any different. It's just what you do. No, there are going to be times they don't want to go to church, of course. There's times you don't want to go to church. Hey, there's times when I don't want to go to church. Like that guy was laying in bed, the alarm went off, and he rolled over, and he hit the snooze button for the fourth time, and his wife comes in. Listen, get up, we're going to church. No, I'm not going to church. You got to go to church. Listen, nobody likes me down there. You got to go to church. No, I'm not going down there. I don't think anybody wants me there. You got to go to church. You're the preacher. Sometimes we don't like to do what's right, and that's going to happen with the kids too. That doesn't mean what you're doing is wrong. Forcing them to eat their broccoli is not wrong. I wish I could say it was. but it's not. What am I saying? I'm saying you teach them now that they need to be careful about what's out in the world. Yes, there's the world's there. We got to be ready for it. But the fact is, we got to be ready. You got to give them. That's what the Proverbs, the first chapter of Proverbs, to give them wisdom and discretion, understanding, so that they know to fear the strange woman, so they know what's going on, so they know how to face it, because it's going to show up just like the Bible said, and they're going to be ready for it and say, ooh, 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 ooh. There it is. I don't want to get into that. I think I'm going to go another way here. I don't need to get into what the world has. But you see, she got curious about the world. Now, I'm going to say this again, parents, grandparents. If you're walking around all the time going, well, we're going to go to church. We're going to go to church? I don't know. You're going to church? Well, I don't know. Okay, all right. Let's just get ready and go. You know what we're telling our kids? The church is a punishment. No, we get to go to church. Now, I think most of us, once we've been here, I'd like to say this. Most of us, once we've been here, and the Lord's given us something in our heart, we say, you know what, I was glad I was there. Or maybe just saying, I'm glad that the hour and a half is over. I don't know, but I'm glad I was there. And I got a point, and I yelled, and I needed that. But we see the world, and we see it as being better, and we see the church as being second class. I don't want to make, listen, that's one of the reasons why I like the things look good around here. This shouldn't be second class. God's not poor. Now, we don't need waste money, but make it look good. We're hoping to gather up the funds and pave this bottom parking lot. One of the first things we did when he came was pave the one up top here. You know, so the ladies weren't ruining their shoes when they walk in. Well, we don't need a paved parking lot. You know, what are we doing? Wasting God's money? You don't think God says, you know what? My folks ought to have a paved parking lot like everybody else. He's not upset with that. In fact, he kind of likes us when we come and say, Lord, would you help us? Well, I was just waiting for you to ask. I've got one here in the closet up here in heaven. I was going to give you a paved parking lot, but you never asked for it. We need a building back here. Well, how's a group this size going to be able to pay for a building for $2.4 million? Well, I got it. We'll take care of it. I mean, it ought to look nice. Now, I've had folks go in that building, and they'll say, you know what? It's very functional. It's good. It's clean. It's sharp looking. But the fact is, it's not elaborate. It's not gold plated. It doesn't have marble floors. We didn't spend $300,000 for, you know, special molding around the side. But it's going to do the job very well for the Lord. Well, that's what we do. That's what we say. All I'm saying is, we think what God has is second class, and what the world has is first class. It's the other way around. Letter A. If she never went out to see the world, she would have never been drawn away by the world. She allowed herself to get curious, so then she went out to sea, and when she went out to sea, she was drawn away by the world. Letter B. If she had never been drawn away into the world by her own lust, she would have never have gotten involved with the sin of the world. Curiosity is not bad, but if it's curiosity is something that God already said, you know, don't get in that, then leave it alone. You know why the whole world's doing that? Because it's natural. It's our typical sinful nature. Our natural inclination is that way. So she gets curious, so she goes out to sea, and she sees. And she's drawn away. And before she knows it, she's involved. Look at verse 2, letter C, verses there. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah and the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. In other words, he talked to her from the heart, or at least appeared to be. When that means he spoke kindly. In other words, he knew how to talk to a woman. And maybe, to be honest with you, when it's all said and done, Shechem almost seems like the better guy out of the deal, except the fact, I mean, you say, some people, he raped her. I don't think she went fighting. I don't think she was fighting this. I think he sweet-talked her, and she gave in. We had a little gal, and I graduated from high school. Well, I was a junior in high school. Just a sweet girl. I'm not going to say the most ravaging beauty in the school or not, but just a sweet girl. And she didn't come back to school in the senior year. She was quiet, and I think she didn't think anybody liked her or was, you know, interested in some guy sweet-talked her. And she spent her senior year preparing to have a baby. I mean, a sweetheart of a girl. Breaks your heart. Listen, don't go out there to see what the world has to offer. Now watch. Typical. A woman wants to know a man's inner feelings. This is intimacy that most women long for. And so what did he do? He spoke kindly to her. Guys, if there's some gal at work or some gal on a job and she listens and you're pouring out your heart and you're telling her this and that and the other thing, maybe you're complaining about your wife because things aren't quite right the way they're supposed to be, and she's listening, before long you're going to think, well, she understands me. And she's thinking, he's pouring out his heart. I know him. I know him. And before long, I love him. I've got to have him. And we laugh, but the fact is, many a marriage has been destroyed by something that was, you consider almost innocent. What's wrong with having a conversation? Just having a conversation. That's why it's my practice not to be in a car with some other woman. Listen, there have been females in this church, now I know this was hard to believe, that were interested in me because I'd listened to them. All I would have had to say was, let's go. Now, there's nobody here right now. Don't get there. People have been confused, trying to breeze through. I'm just telling you. And the same thing, you say, well, no one else is interested. You'd be surprised. I mean, look at some of us guys. How do we get a girl? Not because we're good looking, but they wanted a connection. If we open up our hearts and we start pouring out our thoughts and our feelings and all those kind of things and, you know, lay underneath the stars and dream about what we're going to do, man, all of a sudden she starts to melt. And he's got her. And you know what? He might not even be trying to do anything just to get her and throw her away. He may be, but he may not be. But if it comes too soon, too quick, the wrong time, the wrong place, it can lead to something that shouldn't happen. All because of some innocent connection with someone we have no business being with. James 1:12 says this, blessed is a man that entereth and endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Who's enticing him? His lust is enticing him. Listen, if I said, here's a glass of gasoline, you want some? Here's a glass of beer, you want some? What's the enticement? The enticement now is all, I always wonder what that
tasted like. And they certainly sell a lot of it, and manly men drink it. And I want to be a manly man. And see my point? The enticement, the difference was we're enticed. Oh, come on, drink the gasoline, please. You really want the gasoline. I don't want the gasoline. Drink the beer. Let me see it. My dad always had, he always wanted one with a head on it. He'd have his little mustache and we'd all laugh. And we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Watch. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. It brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You're not missing out on anything. All the good gifts come from Him. All the other junk comes from the world. World is not first class and God's second. God's first class, the world's second. In fact, it's not even second, it's last. If she had never went out to see what the world was, she would have never been drawn away of her own lust. And we're drawn away of our own lust, so don't, listen, so don't get your lusts going. Don't go someplace that's going to play with your lust. We kind of like being enticed. It gets our endorphins going, you know what I mean? You kind of get a high riding on the edge there. Wrong kind of high. Number three, if she had not been out in the world to see what it has to offer, she would have never lost her heart to the world. She lost her heart to the world. If she had never allowed the world to get her heart, she would never have slipped into immorality. Underneath that, once you cross that line of immorality, our hearts become entangled. It becomes entangled. Again, I'm not trying to be wrong, but listen to me, kids. These are things you need to learn now. The world, the TV, everybody makes it sound like the people are just kind of jumping into bed and this and that and the other thing any old time, and it's wonderful. Don't let them lie to you. I tell you what happens. God made that part of that perfect connection and bond between a man and a woman. When we cross that line of intimacy, we're saying, I am allowing you to go someplace no one else goes. I'm allowing you to be intimate with me in ways that no one else would. And all of a sudden, you're making a connection. And if it's the wrong person or just kind of casual, you're making a connection that's going to entangle your heart with their heart. And it will never be something that you're going to just up and forget. It will always be there. And what happens if you, listen, when you slip into it once, let her be, once the world has our heart, it's easier to compromise with the world again. All she did was curiosity. But we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Achan, at the Battle of Jericho, God said, listen, all the spoil at the bottom of Jericho, I'm giving you the city. All you got to do is dance around the place for a couple days, and it's going to come down. And listen, all the spoil comes to me. Don't keep any. But Achan saw a Babylonian garment. And he saw some precious metals. And he coveted them in his heart. And took them. And hid them in the ground underneath his tent. And he lost his entire... In fact, they went to battle, lost 36 men, if I remember. And he was responsible for that.
Not only that, then, he lost his life, his wife's life, and all his kids. Because they said, we don't want this sin in our camp. We can't have it. Well, what's so bad about a suit and some extra change? God said no. That's all it has to be. Once the world has our heart, it's easier to compromise with the world again. And there's a whole on that scripture. I gave that to you. We're not going through and read all this. We'll be here forever. And you know the story, what they did, why they did it, and all the talk and so forth. And they decided, we're going to go get them. Look at number four. If Dinah had never allowed herself to get curious about the world, her brothers would never have become murderers. Now, you know, it's understandable. They're looking out for their little sister. But if she had never been curious, listen, whether he raped her or whether she went with Shechem on her own, I think she went on her own. Either way, this heartbreak would have never happened if she hadn't gotten curious about the world. I've known families who's had teenage girls in this area. They're not here, but they've been in to see me. People come to see me from other places because they're different reasons. But anyway, several families who they didn't know what to do. They felt like they needed to padlock their door and nail their windows shut because the girls were going to try to sneak out to get to the rest of the world. Get to the boys. Get to the drugs. Man. Listen, get their hearts, hey, get your kids' hearts by the time they're five. I'm serious. Before they ever step into a school, Christian or not, you get their heart. You say, well, that's too young. No, it's not too young. It's not too young. They can understand a whole lot more when they're one and two than you think they do. You teach them, train them, love them. Cuddle with them. Make sure they know that you think they're just wonderful and you love them and love them. But on the other hand, this is what we do. And this is how we do it. To the point where, as far as they're concerned, there is no other way. I remember Hannah, she had a friend that would come over to her house and they would eat certain ways at their house. And when she came to our house, we would eat certain ways. And the way we do it, we'd actually sit down around a table and have meals. She thought that was the craziest thing in all the world. And, of course, our kids didn't think anything about it. We're talking about a long time ago, but they didn't think anything about it. And what? The way they grew up. This is part of life. So they became murderers. And they went and they slew Hamor, Shechem, his house, and everybody else. And then they took Dinah out of Shechem's house. Even after she knew how her family felt about her relationship with Shechem, she was still hanging out at that house. Why? Because the world had her heart. The world had her heart. Let me say this too. In a very chaste way, fathers, get the heart of your daughters. In a chaste way. You let them know that you love them. That there's somebody, a male figure that loves them. They assume mom's going to love them. Somehow you assume mom's going to love them. Somehow it's like you got to win your daddy's affection. I don't know why. It's almost like it's kind of built into us. You make sure those girls know you love them in a chaste and pure way. Because if you don't, they're going to go looking for some affection someplace else. They're going to do it. Many lives were lost because she got curious. Number five, if Dinah had never allowed herself to get curious about the world, they would never have destroyed their testimony before the surrounding people. Their testimony. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed in my house. And they should... And they said, should he deal with our sister like a harlot? We're not going to let that happen. No, he shouldn't. But she shouldn't have been there. Ladies, this is going to sound very impolitically correct. Unpolitically correct. What other word is? Men living in the flesh can be animals. They're a bunch of dogs. And I'm going to say it. I'm not trying to be inappropriate, but I'm going to say it. Sniffing around everybody that's got a tail. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Men in the flesh can be real dogs. And listen, it's not, I understand we should have everything under control and so forth, but the fact is, don't go out and advertise. We don't need your help. We're already a mess all by ourselves. That's the truth. We don't need your help to get our attention. We'll go too far just in our own imagination if we're living in the flesh. And I'll be honest with you, you know that. Women know that. Don't you tell me they didn't. And so when they go out there and they say, well, they're up out there and they've got a skirt that's like this, and they've got something cut down to here, and they're wiggling and jiggling and all this kind of stuff. And they said, I am not justifying a rape, but they're surprised when some man lives out his animalistic tendencies. I'm sorry. He shouldn't have done it. It's wrong. They ought to lock him up. But I tell you what, the door should have been locked before she got out the door. I'm sorry. But you listen, no wonder. And the thing is, why do you dress that way? Because you know you get the boys' attention. Listen, women should dress beautifully and glorifying to God. But you know how they want to dress? Attractively. What does that mean? To attract. We got to be careful. And by the way, just because all your skin is covered up doesn't mean that you're modest. There's some things, you know, there's some things where these girls will wear a dress here, and then they got these leggings. And all you got to do is bend over, and it's all over, guys. I'm not trying to be inappropriate. I'm just telling you, we live with blinders on. You know what? And listen, because we do this, and we think you think it's kind of crazy that I'm preaching this, it means we've been more curious about the world than we know. Now, ladies, you don't have to dress frumpy. You know? You don't have to do that. But listen, you say, well, my husband likes it. Well, he likes it. Probably some other men do too. When Dad and I first started dating, she had a pair of gray slacks. I still remember them. Now, she was never a big pants gal, but she had this pair of pants. There was no pockets or anything. And I'm not trying to embarrass her here, but I really liked her in them. Now, I was saved when I was 11, but that was about as far as it went. Living for the Lord and all this kind of stuff, well, you know, you try to stay out of trouble, this and that other thing. I never really thought much about it. But she was always one who really felt like she felt better about, just felt better about a dress just because it kind of camouflaged things a little bit more. In fact, I remember her telling me, she said she felt exposed in those pair of pants, but everybody's wearing it and never really thought anything about it. I guess it's okay. But she said, I just didn't like it. And be honest with you, she stopped wearing dress. No, she stopped wearing pants before I said anything. I'm not trying to be mean here. And not every pair of pants is like this. I understand that. Okay, I understand that. But she stopped wearing it, and I remember her saying, I just feel a little exposed in them. And you know what? Be honest, I thought this. Well, I really liked her in them too. But I'm not the only red-blooded American man that's going to see her. So that's probably better if she goes another direction. I'm not trying to be mean here, folks. Listen, I know there's times when you need to do certain things to be as best modest within the situation and so forth. I understand that. I do. I understand that. I'm trying to make everybody mad. But I am saying this. Don't get your cues from the world. Get your cues from the Lord and how He says to do it, and do it the best you can that direction. I mean, the best you can. If you have to err a little bit on the conservative side, I don't think God's going to get upset. I just don't. All this allowed them to kind of ruin their testimony. One silly decision. We had a girl down in Maryland, and she was a good girl down in the churches years ago. And she got too friendly with a boy, and she ended up expecting. She wasn't married. And some people in the church wanted us to stand her up and have her apologize to everybody in the church. Everybody knew what was going on. We don't need to air their dirty laundry all over the world. We don't need to do that. She didn't sin against me. She sinned against God. Let her deal with God. But they wanted to string her up. But let me say this. What I'm saying is, though, it messes up her testimony. And I hate to say this. Now, she ended up, well, I'll take that back. Some guys didn't want to look at her anymore. She was no longer a possibility. I'm just saying. The shorter testament. Number 6. Dinah's whole world fell apart because they got curious and just could not stay away from the world. Once we get a taste of sin, it's difficult to stay away from sin. That's why I have a real problem when our governor says we need to make alcohol more accessible. And then in the very next news article, they're telling us how many people died in alcohol-related accidents this year. And that 65 or 70% of the people in our prison system, there was alcohol involved in their crime and probably wouldn't have committed the crime if alcohol had not been involved. And yet we want to make it more accessible. Well, let's just help them out. Let's go ahead and give them marijuana. Well, we won't have as many people being arrested for possession. Why? Because we're going to make it illegal. That doesn't fix the problem. Advertisement. Go to Hollywood Casino. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLING. You watch it. It's right there. Are we idiots? How close can we get to sin before we cross the line? As soon as we know it's sin and we do it anyway, we've crossed the line. Number 7. What does this have to do with living a life of faith? Do what God says to do by faith, that it will be in our best interest, even when you do not understand what harm it is. You don't know what harm it is, but do it by faith, but just understand that God knows it's to your best interest. Letter B, if sin is there in any form, then death is going to be there in some form. Something's going to die. Now, it's very obvious in this story. Letter C, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Everybody else is doing it. Do what the Father would have you do. Letter D. You don't have anything to write there, but all that is in the world. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, all those things we think so important is temporary, is going to be gone. Letter E, love of the world is enmity with God. We're out from under the spout where the blessings come out when we decide we're going to go down there and visit the daughters of the town. We've walked out from underneath God's blessing and God's protection. Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Who's over there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Number eight, Dinah has the daughter of Jacob. I'm sorry, Dinah was the daughter of Jacob, and thus heir to the blessings of God. What was she thinking, wanting to leave the blessings of God and go to the world? Dinah was the daughter of Jacob, and so she thought she had a better way to do things than God. It could be she was young and ignorant and foolish. If that's the case, it's still no excuse to sin, but rather all the reason to stay close to the side of those that love her and protect her. Listen, you all are joint heirs with Christ. He's got rewards for you in heaven. There are crowns of glory. There's crowns of life. God's got something for us. We don't need that stinking world out there. Now, we have to live in it, but we don't have to be of it. Don't go out there and say, I wonder what it's got that I'm missing. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Listen, you get in there, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, it makes you that you will be neither barren or unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things shall be blind, can't see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins, his iniquity. God's got something better for you. By faith, just go that way. Sometimes by faith, stay home. By faith, don't go out and get in the middle of all that. Sometimes it's by faith we do something, and sometimes the thing that we're supposed to do is to do nothing. To stay out of it. Sorry we're late. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray I want folks to understand my heart in all this. I don't want to hurt anybody or anything, but there's some things I just don't want us to get our cues from the world and decide that it's okay because many folks out here are doing it. But may we get our understanding and instruction from you. And even if we're the only ones to do it, we need to do all the stand and stand for truth. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.